There you go. Thanks, Heath. Oh, look at that. All the way. Lovely. Welcome to church. Welcome, everyone. The three people that are awake said hello. That's cool. All right. So I want to share today a little bit about the Beatitudes. So you might or might not be familiar with this passage of Scripture, but it's kind of right at the start of Jesus' ministry, and he shares these blessings, these ways to live a blessed life, which is interesting, and it sounds good, doesn't it? It's like, here's Jesus, he's going to tell us, like, how to be blessed. That sounds pretty cool. These, like, kind of secret blessing things. And so Jesus said, started out his ministry, and he'd started out doing some incredible stuff, and he was starting to teach and do miracles, and then people were following him, and he ended up with this huge crowd following him, it says in the Bible. But Jesus doesn't just grab this massive crowd and share these Beatitudes with them, which I found really interesting. These things that he's got, these keys for kind of living this blessed life to the full, he shares them with his disciples. And in Matthew 5, you'll find most of this story. And I'm going to read some of it from the Message. It says, when Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. I thought it was really interesting that Jesus sees this massive crowd, but it's not what he's interested in. Like, of course, he loves every single person in that crowd, but he's like, I'm not here just to build a crowd, but I'm here to build disciples. And so he takes these disciples that he's been teaching, the ones that are committed, the ones that are willing to climb up the hill with him and sit with him and listen to what he has to say. And he teaches them, and he begins to share with them how they can live life to the full and how they can live a blessed life. Yeah? With me?
Yeah.
All right. It's good that everyone's awake this morning. But what I found really interesting about these Beatitudes, and when you read them, and you might have read them before, is that it's not really what you might expect. Like, if someone was to kind of come and say, here, I've got like 6 or 7 secrets to a blessed life, you kind of think they're going to tell you how to get rich, maybe how to pay off your mortgage, how to build a great family, how to get your dream job, that sort of thing. We would expect that that's kind of a blessed life, yeah? But that's nothing like what Jesus says. And what he says is how to live a blessed life is basically the opposite of what you might think blessing is, which I found really interesting, because it's just not. It's like Jesus says, you're going to be blessed. You're blessed. He says, blessed are those. You might know it. But then everything that he says is kind of goes against everything that we might assume about blessing. And he takes this group of people that he knows, these disciples he knows are going to do incredible things for the kingdom of God, that are going to build his church, these guys, and he starts to sow into them right from the start what it really means to live blessed, and how that isn't like what the world or what people might tell you is blessing, but that it's this life that is committed to God, that puts God first, that engages with everything that God has for your life and the incredible plan, purpose and call that he has. And so if that's the sort of blessing that we're after, the keys are right here in this passage, and Jesus shares them with us. And so I don't want to do a message that's like, here's your blessing, bless me kind of thing, because that's not what Jesus was about when he did this. And I just want to share just a few, like just the first few of the Beatitudes this morning, because there's lots of them and I won't get through them all, so maybe some other time you'll get the second half. But I just want to share a few of these things that Jesus shared that he gives us as keys to live a blessed life. I'm just astounded all the time by it, just how different they are to so often what we might think and what Jesus is saying. And the first one you might know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It says, like the Message puts it this way, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his, wait, I've got that written down and I can't read it, rule. My handwriting is fairly abysmal, and I did this thing where I started writing in capitals to try and understand it better, and my capitals just get messier and messier. Anyway, that's just an aside. But he says, blessed are you when you're right at the end of your rope, when you don't know where to go next, when you're right at the edge, because then when you get to that place, there's not as much of you and there's more of God. And we kind of hear that and think, that's not my idea of blessing. Usually it's kind of all about me. Usually it would be like, bless me, how can I be bigger, how can I be better, you should listen to me more kind of thing. But Jesus is basically saying the opposite. He says, you're going to be blessed when there's nothing of you left. When you're at the end of everything that you can think of, that's the point of blessing. And I think that's really interesting. He says, you're blessed when you can let God take control of your life, when you can stop trying to hold on to the things that you want, and you can start to really put God first. And this isn't always easy, but he says, if you want to live this life of significance, and he's here talking to these disciples, guys like Peter, who will lead the church, and he says, if you want this truly blessed life, then you need to learn that when you're right at the end of your rope, that's the blessing point. That's where God is. I was looking back and reading in Exodus, and Moses, I think, is this person that really understood this. He has, like, his moments, yeah, as we all do, but he has this kind of time with God where he realizes that he can't do it on his own. And he gets to the end of what he can do and what he could build in his own strength or in his own effort. And he realizes that he couldn't do everything that God had for him if he tried to just do it himself. And in Exodus 33, he's talking with God. And in verse 14, it says, God says, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. And Moses says to him, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. I really think this is interesting because Moses is like, he understands that you need more of God, less of you. And when you get to that point, you need to say, I'm not going anywhere if God's not going with me. And for me, I want that to be how I live my life and how we could live our life, is to say, God, if you're not going to go with me in this, then I don't want to go there. I want to stay where you're staying, and I want to go where you're going, and I want to have this truly blessed life where what I do isn't dependent on my own agenda or ambition, but it's dependent on what God is doing and what he has for me. And so I think to be really blessed, we need to learn to rely on ourselves way less than we do. We need to learn to embrace what God's doing, even if we don't understand it. Even if it feels like you're right at the end of the rope, that's that key point where you can say, all right, God, I'm going to embrace you in this situation, in this circumstance, and I'm going to see you do something incredible with my life, because it's got beyond the point where I can do it myself. And that's exactly the place where God wants us to be. And Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us, you'll be blessed when you get down to the end and you've got nothing left and all you've got is God. And I think that's incredible. Yeah? Good. Thanks, Brian. The second one, we see it in verse 4, and it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. All of these I'm kind of reading, I'm going to read you the one that you might have heard before, and then the Message version. It says, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. This doesn't really seem to make sense, I think. It's like, When you've lost everything, when there's this one thing or this stuff that you've been holding on to that is so important, and when you lose that, you're blessed. Well, that doesn't make sense. He says, when you're mourning, that's when you're blessed. And so what is that? Is God saying, I'm blessed when I've lost every single thing? And yeah, that's what he's saying. Because this that point in our lives where God can really connect with us and where God can talk and build into our lives, and we can learn to connect with the one most dear to us. Because I think sometimes we can get stuff, and it might not be bad stuff, can be the most dear things to us in the world. And God is like, well, wait, I'm the one most dear to you in everything. And if you've got all this stuff that is more dear to you than me, then how can I connect with you? How can I build you? How can I have the relationship that we're meant to have? In Philippians 3, Paul's talking, and he's talking a bit about himself and what's happened in his life. And I just want to read a bit of a chunk of it. So Philippians 3 from verse 4 says, he's talking about not having confidence in the flesh. And he says, if others think they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I've got more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel or the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So he says, here's all of this sort of stuff, like my credentials, these things that I could say how good I am, these things that are so dear to me, that by any judgment or any earthly judgment make me a great person, a good person. But he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So he's got this incredible thing where he says, in terms of anybody's eyes on earth and in Israel at that time, I'm a blessed guy. I'm there. I'm good. I'm up there with the best of them. I'm right there. But he says, but compared to knowing Christ, that's nothing. I would throw it all away. And I think he understands what Jesus is saying when he says, blessed are those who mourn. And he says, like, blessed are you when you've lost everything that's most dear to you, because then you can connect with God. And that stuff becomes less important, and you can be with God. And I think that it's more than just being comforted when you're down. Like, it is, like, God will comfort you when you mourn, but it's more than that. And Jesus is trying to say more than that. And he's saying, it's knowing God, that God is all that you have, and that's okay. And in fact, that's the best place you can be in your life, is to be like, I've got nothing but God. And that might sound weird, but when you think about then what you have, I think sometimes you kind of get to that and you'd be like, all I've got is God. And that sounds so depressing. When you think about it, it's absurd, because it's like, all I've got on my side is the God who created the whole universe and has every power and loves me. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you've just got everything then if you've got God. So I think that's what that second beatitude is kind of about for a bit, is just Jesus saying, you need to get over the stuff that you might think is so important so that you can connect and be embraced by the one who is so important. The third one is in verse 5. It says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And in the Message it says, you're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. I think sometimes, well, certainly when I was younger, you'd hear this, blessed are the meek, and you kind of think like that meek is weak. I don't know, mostly probably because they just sound similar, but you kind of get this picture of like a mouse or something, like that's meekness. But it's not anything like that at all. And so I don't know where we've kind of got that idea from, but he says, you're blessed when you're not trying to be somebody else, when you're not trying to puff yourself up or be proud or seek or strive after something different, when you're not trying to keep up with your neighbors or whatever, trying to be accepted or trying to be cool or something like that. When you stop trying to be somebody else and you embrace who you are, that's when you're blessed, yeah? And he says, like, we've all been created, and we know that the Bible says, like, formed in our mother's womb, and that God knew us, and that He has these incredible plans for us, for a future and a hope, and all that stuff that we know. But for some reason, we still often kind of look at somebody else and be like, oh, I want what they've got. Like, I want that blessing or that talent, or like, I wish I could do this or that, or why am I built the way that I am? And so we can get caught up in that kind of problem. And Jesus is saying, no, you're blessed when you work out who you are and how incredible that is. And that's when you realize that you've got something that nobody else can ever have because you've got your unique makeup and the very thing that God made you to do and to be that nobody else can do. And as all the time that we try and be somebody else or try and puff that up or do something like that, you miss out on the unique thing that God has given to you, yeah? But when you can know that identity and know the identity you have in Christ, that you're God's son or daughter, and how incredible that is, then you can be ready to go about God's call for your life because you stop worrying about what someone else's call for their life is and you start doing your own unique call, yeah? And I really believe that that's what, when he says, you're just content with who you are, when you're meek, you'll inherit the earth. He's like, when you can work out the thing that you are supposed to do and the thing that you, the person you are and are supposed to be in Christ, then you can get the stuff that you can't get with money or with anything else. Like, it's just uniquely yours. And the fourth one is the last one that I wanted to share today, so you can kind of read the rest of them yourself maybe and do your own message on those. But it says this. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I love this passage in its simplicity. And in the message it says, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. I think this is so simple, this verse. It's just like, you're blessed when the thing that you hunger and thirst for is God, for what he has for your life, for the things that he's got to do. When you have worked up an appetite for God, yeah? That's when you're blessed. It's like not when you've tried to fill yourself, not when you've fed yourself, whatever, and been hungry and thirsty for all sorts of things that will just leave you continuously being hungry and thirsty. But it says you're blessed when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God's kingdom. But the great thing about this verse, I think, is that it's also a promise. It's this promise that says, you will be filled. It says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled up. It says, like, if you seek God, if you seek him first and you seek the incredible stuff that he has for you and you're hungry for that, then you'll be filled by that. You'll find that. And there's this story in the Gospels, and Jesus meets this woman at a well. You might know it. And he's talking to her, and he's talking to her about water, and he says that I can give you water that you'll never need to drink again. And she doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's obviously not talking about just kind of normal natural water. But I think sometimes in our life, we are the same way, and we try and fill ourselves up with things, and we hunger and we thirst for things, and then find ourselves having to go back to the well the next day. And the next day, and Jesus is like, look, if you would just hunger for God, if you would just work up your appetite for God and his call and his kingdom, then you would be filled. Then the promises that he has for your life would be fulfilled, and you would see what he has for your life, and you wouldn't have to keep going back to these random things that aren't good to try and fill your life up, but you would find that in God. That a life hungry for God will be a full life, a blessed life. Cool. That's about all that I wanted to share today, really. But I just suppose if you go away with a few things, it's just that when Jesus brought his disciples, these people that were committed to him and wanted to follow him and were disciplined enough and committed enough to climb that hill. I don't know how big the hill was. Maybe it was epic. Maybe it was like, you know, base camp at Everest or something. No, I doubt that. But so he's got these people that are really committed, and he says, I'm going to show you how to live a blessed life. But then what he says isn't what we might expect for a blessing. He doesn't tell them how to get rich quick or anything like that. But he says, this is how you can live a life that honors God. This is how you can live a life that seeks God first and a life that will see everything that God has for you come to fruition. And I think that's the biggest blessing that you could have, would be to get to the end of your life and be like, I did everything that God had planned for me to do. I engaged God's purpose for my life, and I saw him move, and I got to points where I didn't know what I was doing, and I was beyond the end of my rope, and God was there, and I got to this thing where I lost everything, but God was there and he blessed me, and then that's a truly blessed life. Not blessed in the way that the world might think is blessing, not blessed in what, like, the Australian dream or something like that, but blessing in terms of God's kingdom. And it's about engaging with everything that God has for your life. And for me, that's really blessed. And so hopefully you hear that and you get something out of that. Awesome. I'm just going to pray. God, we just thank you so much for all the blessings that you just pour out on our lives continuously, for the material blessings even, God, for the opportunity we have to live in this country and to do that, God, to have a roof over our head and all those sort of things that we can take for granted so often. And God, we just thank you for that incredible blessing. But God, that's not the sort of blessing that we are after from you, really. We want everything that you have for our life and the plans that you have for our life. And God, I pray that you'll help us to see that the living really blessed is not about the car we drive or the house that we live in or whatever, God, but it's about fulfilling the plan and the purpose that you have for our life. It's about being hungry for you and seeking you first. And Lord, I pray that you would just really impress that in our hearts and really speak to us and that we would be able to engage and speak to you daily, Lord. And so, God, I just thank you for that. Before we finish up, I just want to give an opportunity. If you don't know God and you want to know him more, you want to know what it means to live a life like that, that isn't after what, like, everybody thinks it is important, but is after what God has for you, and you want that relationship, then I want to pray with you. So maybe while everyone's heads are bowed, if you want to do that, you just stick your hand up so that I can pray. That'd be awesome. Sweet. I'm just going to give it a couple of seconds. God, I just thank you for every person here and just for the incredible blessing that you've poured into our life. And God, I pray that you would just, like, you would just enter a relationship with us, God. And for people that have responded this morning, that you would just come into their heart and speak to them, God, that we would begin to see that it's not about what the world sees as blessing, God, but it's about what you have for us and the incredible plan and purpose you have for us. And so, God, we just thank you for that. And God, thank you for your son and how Jesus just came and just gave everything for us and how incredible that love and grace is. And so, yeah, God, we just thank you for that again and lift you up this morning. Amen. Awesome.